And now, the Big D and Bubba Weekly Podcast.
Big D and Bubba, they have a show 5 days a week, but they don't get to say everything that's on their mind, so they have an extra one, and that's how we get the podcast, the podcast, the podcast. Big D and Bubba podcast, the podcast, the podcast. Big D and Bubba podcast.
Oh, yeah. The podcast is sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day.
And 5, 4, 3, 2, your time is up.
Oh, man. I'm so glad that made a return.
Wow,
yeah. 5, 4, 3, 1. Time is up.
That is an old commercial. We always start the podcast with these things we call golds, and they're just clips. Little, think of it as an audio memory, a nugget of dumbness in some cases, sometimes awesome.
Sometimes it's one word.
And back from whenever I used to do, before I was doing country radio, I was doing pop radio, and there was an album I did for this band called Jade. I did their commercials.
Yeah.
And
so this is like 20-year-old Bubba.
Yeah.
And 5, 4, 3, 2. Your time is up.
That's the name of one of the songs. I can't believe it. 5, 4, 3, 2. Your time is up. It was
That's the name
of a song.
Your time is up.
Why don't they didn't even rhyme.
Like it should have been 5, 4, 3, 2.
Your time is through. Your time is through. Yeah, that would have been great. Nope.
And 5, 4, 3, 2. Your time is up.
Listen,
I love everything about it. I love the fact that
your time
is up. I can literally see him in this studio shaking his head.
All right. And 5, 4, 3, 2. Your time is up.
Oh. We gotta do that like a TikTok, and we just all like do our own little interpretation of it.
We have to put golds in the laptop that we bring to game night.
Oh yes.
We
oh. So
that's a great idea.
We've got a lot to dive into. First of all, so yes, brand new game night shows. New dates have been announced. We're going to tell you about that in a second. Plus, we have a very special guest here in the studio.
Yeah, Reno Collier's joining us. Is one of our buds, comedian Reno. He is doing some stuff that we'll be talking about. I have no idea what he's doing, but
yeah,
we'll be doing something, and we can't wait to hear that. Good morning to you.
Good morning, boys. Thank you for having me, as always.
It's good to see you again. You ever get people go, they miss the fat Reno?
Yes. Dude, I have people say that I'm not me. That I'm not even, I lost like 50 pounds. And
you got facial hair.
For
those who go way back, you were much heavier and you had no facial hair.
Yeah. The facial hair was more of like a curtain for neck fat. Like the goatee.
What do you think this is?
I just grow it down.
That's the same thing.
I have that.
He's trying to get to cover his whole body.
Everybody.
Just let it grow all the way down the floor.
If I get it long enough, it'll distract you from my man boobs. That's what I'm going with.
Just tie it into your shoe.
Seriously, if I shave it completely off, I look like John Candy. And you know what? No one wants to look like John Candy.
Was sexy to somebody.
No.
Yeah, we know.
Dude, I love that guy.
I love John Candy, too. But
John
no,
Candy was sexy to Reno Collier.
Never did John Candy walk into a room and some woman went, yeah, that's my man.
Yeah, but as a kid, when I'm watching people who are famous, everybody's all chiseled and like look like they're in a shampoo commercial. I could look at John Candy and go, I could do that. You know what I mean? Like he was a guy that I was like, I got a shot at this. Yeah. You know what I mean? I like him.
Well, there are people who will lose weight and people, they... People react to them differently because they're different. It's not the same.
And I was glad to see that. And I've actually, I hate to say this about myself, but I got funnier. The reason I was bigger was because I was boozing it all the time, and I was kind of.
I wish I had that
bloating
excuse.
Up. No, but it's like when I quit drinking, I got more clear. I woke up. I got up and I did stuff and I was trying harder and all that. So I was worried. I was going, when I first go back out, am I still funny? You know, because you don't know when you change
like that.
You
thought that the weight made you funnier? Thing?
I thought it might be the alcohol. It could be the weight. It could be both of them together. I didn't know, man. And it's not like I'm, 170 pounds. I mean, I ate the whole way here, but, 210 is different than 260.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I know.
But you look like you've lost more than 50 pounds.
I haven't. It's just that I was holding all the weight in my neck and my face. Yeah, I was just bloated,
I, 50 pounds, see, 50 pounds on most people is a lot of weight. seen. 50. If I lost 50 pounds from where I am now, I'd still be 300 pounds.
Let me tell you this. I've lost 50 pounds, but nothing from the waist down to my feet has changed at all. So it was all just
gut, boobs,
and neck.
So when you gained your weight, it was all from the waist up?
Yeah, it was all like in my gut and my neck. Dude, my head, I look like I got stung by bees, like over and over. Like I was just swollen. Like, but a bottle of whiskey and a 12-pack of Coors every day, you know, you kind of start holding that stuff in.
Yeah,
you can be big and not have your neck be bigger than your head. My neck, like when I did the roast, the Cable Guy's roast on Comedy Central, people have sent me that picture, and I'm like, oh, my.
I wish I had my phone in here.
Yeah,
I would be
dude, I have it because my kid's like, Dad, keep that around you.
A reminder?
So it's a reminder of, like, you could.
Did you kill that night?
Yeah, it was great. It was really fun.
Oh, yeah, I see it.
It was fun. Like, that's.
Yeah, that's a picture I just pulled up.
Let me see.
Oh, you did? Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, my face isn't even straight. Like, it's like I had more fat on the left side of my head than the right side of my head.
And you're holding a beer.
Well, yeah.
Oh, man.
Well, it was almost dark.
Yeah, you look like a completely different person.
Yeah. But I what it wasn't it was all my you know, my neck.
But now your beard, I mean, you have an odd beard. It almost looks like it's glued on.
It's not real. It's not real. I just put this on for radio. Dude, I love how you're looking at it like you're studying.
It really does. It looks like you look like
it looks
a,
like it came
a
out
Russian
of casting.
Scientist.
Yes.
Well, I'll tell you this: the beard and the glasses make my face look thinner too. Like I have a huge Scottish head. Like my head is big.
Yeah, yeah.
So like it thins my face out a little bit, I guess. Uh-huh. So one of my buddies is like, so in off time, what are you, like a Civil War reenactor?
That's what it is.
It looks like it, doesn't it? I didn't think of that.
It's just also the way you style it. You have it kind of coming.
That's for me just going like this.
Oh, just pulling it?
Yeah, I'm a terrible
that's
what beard
he does.
Guy.
He
yeah.
pulls
Patrick's
at it.
Always playing with his beard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
yeah.
I have like 20 different colors in it. Like there's red and brown and white and blonde and
yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I have that going on too.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Like if you were to just shave that down like with a guard or whatever.
Yeah.
You would look even thinner.
You think?
Don't listen to
I'm not trying
don't
to
take
there.
Beard advice from the guy whose beard naturally grows just like that.
Does
like,
it really?
Yeah. He doesn't have to do anything.
Yeah, no, he does trim.
He trims it, but I'm saying.
He has to trim it a little bit, right?
His cheeks don't come in. And the shape of his goat.
Oh, dude, I have nothing here.
I can't get up here.
This is a swirl on my neck that isn't, it's not even a beard. This is more like just long hair that grows out of my face.
That's what a beard is.
I know. No, but I mean, like, it's not like a beard. Like, when I see some dudes with a beard, like Tom Selleck's mustache, if I cut this bottom part off, this is not a real. You know what I mean?
It can't stand on its own.
No, it's almost like when you're in high school and you try to, like, push it, like, you're holding your breath, hoping it'll pop out so you look cooler.
Yeah.
But Yeah,
it looks great. It looks great.
I want it. Yeah.
After I told you, it looked like it's glued on. Yeah.
Did you just leave like a costume place on your way here? Oh, by the way, it looks great. It doesn't look real and it looks stupid, but it looks great.
You pulled it off.
Yeah.
We are going to be doing, Bubba mentioned it, game night. We have two new dates for our stage show that we tour with. It's going to be Friday, June 21st, Liberty Hall, Tyler, Texas, and then the next night, Saturday, June 22nd, at the Beltonian Theater in Belton, Texas, home of Fort Hood.
Well, it's right next to Fort Hood. Yeah.
Yeah, I know it's not in Beltonian Theater.
I just want to make sure other people listening know that we know that Belton is not where Fort Hood is.
Okay. You know. So we'll be doing that. That's the same show that we did in Japan.
Yeah, for the USO. For the last three game nights we did were in Japan. Yeah.
God, dude. So the first night we get to Japan, we get there, and the next day we had kind of a rest day.
Yeah.
And then the next night, we were playing at Camp Fuji for the Marine Corps.
You ever been to Camp Fuji?
No.
No.
Okay. Oh, so okay. It's kind of out. A ways from everyone. It's near Mount Fuji, which we never saw because it was raining the entire time. And there are 300 Marines?
300 Marines stationed there, 150 who are there for like a whole year, and another 150 who are there for like 6 weeks. And then they go there to do a certain kind of training with like heavy artillery.
Yeah, it's real specialized.
Yeah.
No one's family is there. No one has a wife or husband or kids there.
Yeah.
No, it's just Marines.
99% dudes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just Marines blowing stuff up during the day.
Thousands of miles from home.
Here's their place they go to drink at night, and we're supposed to try to make them laugh. Almost all of them showed up. It was like 200 people showed up.
Show starts
out of 300.
Show starts at what, like 8 o'clock, 6 o'clock, they start showing up drinking.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And by halfway through, I remember looking over and going, how are we going to wrap, how are we keeping control of this? Like, people would just yell out obscenities.
Yeah.
Like,
it was crazy.
Suck my blah blah.
Oh, all right.
Wait. They weren't yelling that to us. We had two very attractive, beautiful female comedians.
Oh, yeah.
And
dude,
that's who
right
they were
there.
Yelling those things
but
to.
But still, it was even still, we bring guys up to like, it's mostly crowd work. So we're bringing guys up to talk to them about whatever. And while they're on stage, you're going, ask to see his mom's little. I'm like, what is it? He's got a donkey.
You're just like, all right. And then we're trying to like. At some point, they were trying to do like, hey, we just want to say thank you for your service.
Yeah.
Dude, that stuff does not work.
Don't care at all.
They don't care less. No, they're past all that. And I was just trying to hang on, man. I was just like, this is not going to work.
Yeah.
Is this going to be, is the audio mess up?
Yeah, I'm fixing it.
Okay.
Trying to.
Dude, I used to go to Iraq all the time, and I love doing those things. You get more out of it than anybody does watching it, you know?
Yeah,
and these guys, and the reason they act like that, I think, is because they feel like they're at home for a minute. Mm-hmm. And that's the best part about doing what you guys are
doing.
But
you know, we did a show for the Army the next night in a theater, and it was people brought their spouses, kids. It was what we usually do. It was set up a joke, tell the joke, people laugh. Set up the story, tell the joke, people laugh. You can't do that for 200 drunk Marines who are screaming at you the whole time.
No, but
no one's waiting for the setup. No one's waiting for the punchline.
It's hard to get those jokes out.
Yeah, you can't. Well, like one of the shows in Iraq, we had the Denver Broncos cheerleaders on the tour with us.
Bet that went great.
Yeah, and they go, hey, the girls are going to go out first, and then you're going to do your show. And I go, you're out of your freaking mind. I go, dude, I'm not. These guys have been out here for 8 months. I'm not going up and following a bunch of chicks half dressed, naked, kicking their legs up. Nobody can follow that.
No.
These guys haven't seen a woman that wasn't in a uniform in 8 months. And you think, dude, those girls, and thank God I went out for it, because I went out and it was great. And the girls went out, and you would have thought everyone just won the lottery at one time. Like 800 guys are like, ah! And these girls wear their cheerleading stuff all day. So while we're traveling, and it's like 120 degrees, and they're dressed in their cheerleading stuff, and we're on those C-130s flying around, and they're just, you know, and these guys, no one's flying the plane. They're standing back there asking them stupid questions.
Just to see all the vibrations.
Just to watch the plane shake with them sitting there. Hey, what's up with John Elway? And they're just staring at him like, you know what I mean? Rocky Mountain High, yeah.
That is great. Yeah, awesome. We finished the show, and the CEO of the base comes over, and I'm apologizing. I'm like, hey, man, he goes, that's the best show we've ever had
yeah,
here.
Yeah.
I said,
they
what?
They were all, everybody loved it. You know, they all hung out and drank with us. You know, half of them hung out and drank with us for like 2 hours afterwards. It was crazy.
It's a great, I mean, don't you think it's a great feeling, though? Like, because you're doing something, you're using our thing for good.
Yeah.
In one way. And then when you leave and they go, that was the greatest thing I've ever seen. And you're like, wow.
Okay.
You know, like, and they deserve it. They deserve more of it.
Well, they won't remember it.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. But they remember that somebody cared enough to go do it.
Yeah.
And they know where they are. I mean, they know what's going on. And somebody actually showed up to, I think it's, I mean, I love that
it
stuff.
It was really, I love the difference between the three shows. I like seeing the difference between the three bases. Because it was the really small, really serious base where all we do is blow stuff up during the day and drink at night. And then there was the medium-sized Army base, and there was a very large Navy base.
Yeah.
And when, I mean, it was like a city. Yokosuka is like a city.
Huge. It's huge.
You know?
Yeah, like a lot of those things, we would do like the green zone, and we'd be in like one of Saddam's old palaces one day. And the next day, I'm on the back of a truck for 30 guys standing up with a, you know what I mean? And then the next
like
night,
a megaphone just in
the
back?
Yeah, I mean, they would just throw a microphone up and you just do it. And then they were on, you know, like the last time a year ago, they're on 12 hours and off 12. So we'd try to catch them coming and going, you know, so we could do shows for everybody that was there. And it's, it doesn't matter where you are. I still have people that come to my shows and they're like, I saw you at Camp Liberty, or I saw whatever. Mm-hmm. I saw you in Africa, you know, wherever. And it's amazing. Yeah. I think it's the best thing I've ever done. I'm not just saying that, trying to sound like I'm standing on, you know, holding the American flag, but it is the coolest thing I've ever done in my life.
Well, it is, because you're getting to experience something that you as a civilian never get to.
Yeah.
I mean, how many civilians go, I'm going to Iraq, or I'm going to Afghanistan, or I'm going to the DMZ in Korea, or I'm going to be in wherever, the middle of the Pacific Ocean on a ship.
Yeah.
I mean, it's you're doing something and you're reaching people in a place that you never thought you could.
No.
And it makes it more special. And that's right. I'm going to say specialer.
It is specialer.
It's specialer.
I did like 100 shows, and I had this shadow box thing. It's huge. Like, it has all the coins on it. The American flag, and it was hanging up behind the desk at my house, right in the office or whatever. And my stepdad was a helicopter pilot in Vietnam. I'm gonna have to clean this story up, but he was a helicopter pilot in Vietnam, and he has a shadow box that the military gave him that's like 8 inches by 12 inches. You know, it's like this, and mine is like a huge port. So he walks in, and I'm not even thinking about it, right? And he's standing there. He has a Jack on the Rocks, and he's a big, burly dude, and he's a helicopter pilot in Vietnam.
Right.
And he looks at me, and I am going to clean this up, and he goes, Reno, what the is that? And I'm like, oh, my God, I'm so embarrassed, Jack. I go, it's this thing they gave me. He goes, no, don't be embarrassed. I'm proud of you what you did. He goes, this makes perfect sense. I lose a bunch of buddies in Vietnam as a helicopter pilot. I get an 8x10. You go over talking about playing with yourself and taking a dump, and they build you a freaking memorial. I was like, I'm so embarrassed. I'll take it down. He's like, no, leave it up. You ought to be proud of yourself.
I'm reminded of a story that we told this just to make each other laugh while we were there, because it involves a mutual friend of ours. We were talking about the girls wanted to ride in the helicopters. And we're like, first of all, they're not going to let us ride in a helicopter.
Second of all, so hard, man.
I'm too big to ride. We're big dudes. I don't want to be strapped into one of these helicopters. And I remember, I don't know if this was ever on any one of his specials or anywhere, but I saw Ralphie in a club one night in Nashville. Some guys from the 101st were there, and he had gone and performed for them with the USO. And so he was telling this story, because I never tell the story, but I'll tell it for you guys. And they were talking about how he got on the helicopter, and it's already going. And this big sergeant comes up to him and just looks at him, and he goes, we do not have straps big enough to hold you in. So, Corporal so-and-so and Corporal so-and-so are going to grab hold of you and try to keep your fat in the helicopter. I was like, oh, I don't want that to be me. That's why I don't want to ride in the helicopter.
Yeah, but you're not even a quarter of the size that Ralphie was.
I'm a big dude. I don't want to.
No, you'd have been fine.
I was your thing, and they go, I can't. I could
fasten you down using my firefighter skills with webbing. Lord. You're good.
When you get all those things.
Finally, it happened.
I don't have any whiskey to drink.
I don't either. Dang it. Out of nowhere. It hit you out of nowhere.
We have a running thing going. Whenever Bubba brings up the fact that he's a firefighter, we drink.
Oh, yeah?
If we really did that, we'd be drunk all the time.
What are you doing? You're doing some shows?
So I'm doing some shows with a guy, Michael Loftus. And Brian Hainer. Brian Hainer's like, they call him the guitar guy. He toured with Jeff Dunham on that Arena World Tour and all that stuff, and had a Showtime special. And Michael Loftus did a Comedy Central Hour special, and he's on Fox News all the time.
I'm looking at him right now. I know his face.
Yeah,
I've seen him before.
It's called you can look it up. It's the Loftus Party Live is the website. And we're just trying to do some dates. But what it is where I didn't used to feel like I was that conservative. You know, like 20 years ago, I wasn't that conservative. But the way it is now, every time I watch late night TV, every show hammers the right constantly. There's nobody banging up the left at all.
Mm-hmm.
And I was yelling at my TV, and I'm, you know, they're talking about getting rid of airplanes and all this. Just so stupid.
Farts are ruining the world.
Yeah, I mean, all this ridiculous stuff. And I'd had it. And I was talking to Loftus, and I'm like, dude, I can't take this anymore, man. Like, I try to not be political in my shows, and I didn't think I was. And then people start telling me that I was and becoming more and more. And I got kids, and I'm worried about them. And
it's such a hard balancing act.
It's so hard, dude. And then I was like, you know what? I don't care anymore.
But you're I'm still not doing like politics. You're just making fun of, you know, the culture and the
how stupid this stuff is. You know, like it's I'm probably a libertarian if I had to put myself. I hate that we're all stuck in one group or another. There's good idea. Like the economy's doing fantastic. Unemployment's at a 50-year low. People boo that.
What was that number
you're
that came out, Patrick?
People,
it's the best. The best it's been since 1969.
Yeah,
that's
50 that's years.
Crazy.
And people are like, yeah, but nothing.
Yeah,
people
but
have
how
jobs.
About the economy's great?
Yeah, and you're not even allowed to say that.
Nope.
I will say this. There's a lot of things that I feel like, and I'm not going to be critical on anybody, but I'm going to say it. There's stuff that I think when you concentrate so much on one thing, you can drop the ball in other places. So, and that's a fair critique of not just the president, but any president and anybody who runs a business, who is a manager. You know, when you concentrate on certain things, you're going to drop the ball elsewhere.
Yeah.
But, you know, he came in and his whole thing was we're going to turn this economy around. And you know what? He's doing it.
Dude, if before everybody voted, they wrote down on a piece of paper without his name on it, here's what he's going to do. If somebody could do this, would you vote for him? Well, I would be like, yes. If you could have unemployment this low and people working, I have kids that are about to go to college. I need my money. I don't need to be taxed 80%. I don't even know what people are talking about. And I promise the show's funny. I don't just do this the whole time.
No, we had Jeff
Let
Allen
Let me tell
on.
You another thing.
Do you know Jeff? He lives you
Jeff
know,
Allen,
here.
Very yeah. funny
We had
guy.
Him on, and it was the same thing. It's like he's not talking about politics, but he's taken this approach that has become – he's just pointing out how stupid the whole thing has gotten. And
it is
become
ridiculous.
We've all kind of soft and whiny about the dumbest
people
things.
People complain. The stuff people are talking about, there can't be issues to really argue about. If you're bringing up the biggest thing in the world is – A, B, C, right? And it's so far whacked out that it doesn't even make any sense. People aren't even talking about issues. Somebody will take one small thing that they care about and go nuts.
It's not even issues. It's ideology. And
it's
that's
ideology. That's exactly
and
right.
That nobody understands the issues. They don't because they can't get past the ideology to get to the issues. And that's on both sides, left and right, which is why we're
Absolutely.
Not able to do anything right now. We get at this weird impasse where the House won't agree with the Senate, and then the Senate won't agree with the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court won't agree, you know, so we can't get anything done.
We can't, and it's ridiculous, and that's exactly what made me like, I'll do this. I'm sick of it. And every time I watch something on TV, I don't see an outlet for anybody who has my values. I don't see any place in any media form that goes, hey, let's give this guy a shot.
And if somebody there are groups that will do anything to tear them down.
We can't get... We have some dates, but and we're just trying this to see, you know, how it's going to go. We can't get people. There are theaters that are like, no. But you don't even know what it is. You don't even know what the ticket sales are. It doesn't matter. No. Why? Well, it says conservative in there, and we're not having that here, and blah, blah, blah. And it's like, are you kidding me? Like, we're at that point?
Well, dude, I mean, look at what has happened on Facebook, on Twitter, on all these places. If you disagree with someone, they're just going to ban you.
Yeah,
and
kick you off. I got kicked
crazy.
Off Twitter. I mean, not for good, but it was like they wrote me this thing.
You were suspended?
Yeah, because I said if you – I can't remember what it was, but at the end of it, it was like just drink bleach, whatever. And they wrote me a thing in Twitter saying they were worried about my health and that if I needed mental – help, you know, getting through my problem.
They and literally like, wrote that
dude,
to you?
Dude, I swear to God.
And you said, I'm a comedian. I say dumb things like, just drink bleach.
I think and you don't really care about my
By the
health.
Way, don't drink bleach.
I think I have a picture of when I got kicked off because I'll have to find it. But yeah. it was so unbelievable that I'm like, look at the other stuff that people put out there. It was about, it was pro-Trump. And I'm not Trump or nothing. I don't think anybody's perfect. And I don't think, but if somebody does something well, you know, he's done a lot of stuff that's good for us. That's good for our country. I want the government out of my life.
Yeah.
I don't want, you know, everybody. If you start talking about taxing people 80%, do you really think that's, and free college, they just give it away. Oh yeah. You know what? We need, it's like a sixth grader running for office. Like, hey, everyone gets free recess for 6 hours.
They don't understand the economics of how you're going to raise the funds to take care of all that.
How are you going to explain this to my cousin who didn't go to college because didn't want to have the loan debt of $180,000. So didn't go. So he said, you know what? I'm going to go to a vocational school. I'm going to get a job. He's an electrician. All right. So he skipped college to do that. So he didn't have the debt. It is a great job, but he makes more money than most of my friends that got out of college. But that being said, so he didn't go to college because he didn't want to take on a loan he couldn't pay back. So now there's a whole bunch of people that take out these loans. They owe $200,000. Now they're a victim. They knew what they were doing. They signed their name. Now people are running saying,
they
we're going to forgive
know.
All that.
It's not their fault, Reno.
You signed a freaking – what do you think?
Wait. They didn't know at the age of 18 that they were going to be stuck with debt, yet we want to raise or lower the voting age to 18 because
to
they
16.
Understand. Oh, to 16. I'm sorry,
16. How are you going to vote when you can be grounded?
Yeah, if you can't understand.
If you can still be grounded, you can't – hey, who are you voting for? Bernie Sanders? Not today. You're not jackass. Get in your room. You December.
My daddy would come out in December.
This is the dumbest. We live in the dumbest times I've ever seen.
That is funny.
People want to lower the voting age to 16. Maybe the dumbest thing that I've ever heard.
If anything, raise it.
Traction.
If anything, raise it to 21.
Yeah,
because maybe at 21 they'll understand where their debt comes from.
We don't have the draft anymore. When we had the draft, that was the argument. It was that we're drafting 18 and 19 year and 20 year olds to fight in Vietnam, and they can't vote, and they can't. They can't vote.
They can't vote.
That was why the voting age was lowered.
I can't rent a car till I'm 25.
60 years ago.
Happened. And it's 16. My kid is about to turn 16. Let him vote. I don't even let him drive my car.
I'm voting for PewDiePie.
This whole thing has gotten so turned. And if there were real issues to talk, if they could complain about the economy, if they could complain about all kinds. There was a thing on the news the other day. I don't want to misquote it. Low 70% of millennials said that if they could, they would leave the country. So 70, whatever it is, two, whatever, one, whatever it is, said they would leave the country. Then there are people who are walking all the way from Ecuador up through Mexico with no shoes on, the kids trying to get in
there's
here.
Why don't you
take all those kids? Here's the difference. Take those kids, let them return their mom's credit card, turn their video games off, take them to the border. Well, that's a trade deal I can live with. These people want to come here and work. You don't. You get out. Bring them in. Done. Signed. Yeah.
By
the way, it's called the Loftus Party.
It's a comedy show.
It's the funniest thing you've ever seen.
What I was going to say is this. You know, the difference is these people are willing to give up everything they've ever known, travel across, because most of them aren't coming from Mexico. They're coming from Central America. So you have all these people who are trekking thousands of miles through the desert, not knowing what the next morning is going to bring. They're willing to give up everything to escape the crappy place that they come from.
Yeah.
And you have spoiled
Here's what I was going to say.
You know what I mean?
They're doing it. While on the other side, you have people, 70% you said that they would, but they never will.
No, they won't.
Because they're just too spoiled.
It's unbelievable. And when people go like, when has this country ever been great? You know what was great? The second you were allowed to say in front of other people, when has this country ever been great?
It's great right now.
Jackass.
It was great under Obama. It was great under Bush. It was great under Reagan. It was great under Kennedy.
Absolutely.
It's been great.
Look how much money we give to other countries, to other people. The amount of money that we give to other people surpasses, the world. It's unbelievable. And like church groups and things like that. It's never been great. I can't even wrap my head around it. I can't even.
There's a reason. You don't see people, leaving other countries by makeshift raft. They take 15 igloos and Yetis and strap them together and attempt to float across the Gulf of Mexico to get to America. Why? Because it's great.
And have you ever stood like on the coast and looked out and imagined, like from Cuba, 90 miles, whatever it is, and think about taking your entire family, kids, grandmas, grandpas, putting them on an inner tube and trying to just navigate 90 miles in the ocean to get to, it's exactly what you said. If it's not great, who takes a chance on losing their entire family to try to live somewhere?
How many Americans do we see doing that but trying to get out?
Yeah.
You do have some who have left the country, like 6 or 7. But that's about it.
Six or five.
Changing the subject, kind of. I remember like 15, 20 years ago, there was a guy who like built a boat out of an old truck. And sailed it to Miami, and then the Coast Guard grabbed him and sent him back. And I'm like, no, I want that guy.
Yeah.
Let's give us that guy.
Right.
I want the guy who had
He's making stuff.
Yeah, let's get him.
Yeah, we you're talking about trade schools. We've always said it's so important that as a country we get back into the business of building things.
Yeah.
And becoming producers and not just consumers.
Manufacturing is the core of the country's success.
And absolutely.
If we don't have those jobs, if we aren't the ones making the refrigerators, if we aren't the ones making the silicon chips, if we aren't the ones making the circuit boards, if we aren't the ones making the buses and the trucks and the trains, then we're going to lose.
Absolutely.
Or we ought to at least know how to fix those things. Part of the reason we won World War II is because if the Jeep broke down, every guy in the unit could fix it.
Yeah.
You know, now, man, I'm 100% sure I can. I have trouble opening the hood of my car. I'm not going to lie to you guys. It's difficult.
There was a video I saw on Twitter yesterday. It was a coach of a baseball team that was showing his players, I want to say it was college team, like a small college, showing these guys how to change a tire on a car. And they were enthralled.
Wait a minute. So the baseball players,
the
manly guys, you know, you would consider that the manly dudes are playing the sport.
Dudes. This generation doesn't. They don't know that. They don't know how to change a tire. They don't know how to change your own oil.
Because you've always had somebody to call to do it for you.
Yeah. I'm willing to take responsibility as a parent that some of it is our fault as far as raising kids like that, where they're helicoptered and they're. You know, you can't, and I have an ex-wife who just, holy.
Do you have Life 360?
I don't even know what that means.
Life 360 is an app that you put on your phone, and your kids have the same app, and you can look and see where everybody is all at the same time. We have it. And so my wife is constantly, when the kids are gone, she's constantly checking it and going, oh, okay, Olivia just got to Lyndon's house. Ellie is over there with the, you know. So she knows where and who everybody is. And, oh, Olivia just left school. She'll be home in about 15 minutes. Well, if she doesn't get home in 15 minutes, she freaks out.
Yeah.
Gets back on the app and she's like, where are you? I don't see you. The other day, for the first time since we have had this app, Olivia's phone died. Her battery died. Well, when it dies, it doesn't work. It doesn't tell you where they are. My wife melted.
Yeah.
She thought something had happened. She's like, well, she's been kidnapped. Her phone is dead. I'm like, no. I said, she probably just had a dead battery. Oh, no. So literally, I had to get in the Jeep and go to search for her. And luckily, as I was leaving the door, my daughter walked in.
Yeah.
And she's like, my charger broke in the car. And that was it. But the point is we've added another level of anxiety onto ourselves because we feel like you were talking about the helicopter pilot parenting. We feel like we have to. You're not a good parent if you're not always aware of where your children are. And that's just not true.
It's not. And it's bad for the kids. And
it's bad for everyone.
It makes them feel like they can't do anything without their parents. And, you know, if you look at social media, it's scary being a parent. I mean, I get it. There's a lot of freaky weirdos out there that are trying to do stuff. And social media drives me crazy. Like, I get stuff in my head in the news and kids disappear. I mean, it's so horrifically sad that it makes you feel like you have to do that. But like my son, I didn't have a graduation party for him when he finished eighth grade. And why didn't you have a graduation party for him? I got him a graduation. We got him a cake. My parents got him a cake. I'm a graduation. Because he didn't graduate. Yeah. It's eighth grade. He's going back to school next year.
Yeah.
Graduation means you're done. I'll get him an Arby's name tag and a freaking GED cake, and he can, if he's moving out. But if I'm still paying for him, he's not done.
Yep.
You know, you can't give kids, every time they tie their shoe, you don't make them a cake. He brushed his teeth. Let's make him a cake.
Oh,
he's got diabetes. Here's a cake. It's like, for God's sakes, man, let the kid be a dude. And I don't want to see my son 24 hours a day because he goes in the bathroom 5 times, and I don't want to think about what he's doing in there. But if there was like a 180 camera, where I just see the back. I don't want to see the front.
I think he's right, man. I tell the boys, I go, I encourage them to get out and go. My oldest son, he's 18 and he has a car and, you know, and all that job and going to college, but he doesn't like to do like what we did, go and just drive and get lost.
Dude, I used to live in the
woods.
You know,
just doesn't.
They don't want to get their driver's license. They don't even want to go.
They don't even care about getting their license. Maybe if it's their friends, like Gunnar, our youngest son. Now he's the opposite. Like, he can't wait to get it. He just wants to go and I won't see him. Like once he has a car and a license, he will be gone. Yeah, and yeah. I'll get a phone call. Where are you? I'm in four states over or wherever.
Yeah.
And it's just funny that you're right. They don't even care to get their license anymore. We have friends that they're 17 years old. Don't
well,
even.
Well, why should they? My son's friends don't. You can Uber anywhere you want to go, or mom and dad will take you.
Yeah.
Because I mean, you're still living in their house.
Yeah.
You guys remember like when you were 15, you were just like, oh. You're dude, counting the days till you get your license.
I was stealing my parents' car when I was 12. Yep. I'm trying to tell my son, like, throw a rock through a window. I used to put it in neutral and let it roll down the driveway before I even turned it on so they wouldn't hear it. And I was driving. Yep. Mike ended up in military school, but the kids. But I'm like, dude, do something. Like, I don't care. I'll throw a rock through a window with you. Let's do it together. Like, I want him to live a little bit.
Disclaimer, don't. Throw rocks through windows.
Well, unless it's your own window.
Don't do that.
No, there's a definite a shift. But you know what? Part of me also goes, this conversation was, our parents had this conversation about us.
Yes, I agree 100%.
So every generation.
You think they thought
yes,
we were this
yes,
bad?
Because we were.
Yeah.
We were. Okay, compared to them, dude, you want to see.
What about
like,
them compared
people?
To their parents? Make,
oh, my
yeah,
gosh,
the same
yeah.
thing.
Our grandparents. Yeah.
Our grandparents living through the Depression
dude,
and stuff.
My grandfather, he would till up the ground in his, with a mule
yeah.
that was had a harness and oxen and not oxen.
Lucky he had a mule.
A yoke. He's lucky he had a mule. And he would just go. That's how he did it. Hard work. Yeah. Man, our kids couldn't do that. I couldn't have done that.
No.
So, you know, there is part of that. Every generation is, we get a little softer because of technology.
We get a lot softer.
We get, you know, when Bob always says we got softer whenever air conditioning became widely used because we stayed inside.
Point, man.
We stayed inside.
Yeah. Once we got air conditioning, there was no need to go outside and do anything. You found reasons to stay inside. So we have all these great office jobs now.
And food that's convenient. It's in a box. It's going to last forever. You go back into the 50s with canned foods because, you know, you had to keep them down in some sort of a bomb shelter because we were under this fear of the Cold War. So that we had to have food that would stay longer, fresh
I think
longer.
We've swapped out. Like, and I always say this to my kids. I'm like, there's a difference between need and want. Like, you need air. You need food. You need water. And if you say, I need a video game, I need to go here, that's not a need. You want to do that, but that's not a need. And our grandparents had needs.
Yeah.
Get food for your family, for them to live. A Xbox is not a need. Well, I need that. No, you don't need that. You want that. And if you want to save your money and use it on that, you can do that. But that's not a need.
No.
And our needs have changed. Like you said, you know, plowing a field. My grandfather used to, we
but
got all the food
it,
off the land. I mean,
is
he had
it
a,
because, yeah. you know, our needs have changed because we are born into this world where we're entitled to have air conditioning, cars, et cetera, that kind of thing, the video games. Because video games have been here since I was born.
Yeah,
I mean, when I was growing up, we had Pong and we had a ColecoVision and all that old crazy stuff, Intellivision. And
oh, Intellivision.
I had Intellivision. I never got Atari.
Then I'm like, got into the Segas and the Ataris.
And Intellivision had the worst controller.
The controller
and it had
was
a
terrible.
Keyboard. Oh, it
with
felt
the
like
little numbers.
School.
Yes. Yeah. But yeah, so I think here's the thing. Our parents and grandparents, when they were born, they didn't have anything like that. I know for a fact because when I visited, I had to use it. My dad grew up with an outhouse.
Yeah.
So when I would go to my grandma's house, even as a kid in the 80s, early 90s, they still had an outhouse.
Yeah.
You know, they just refused to have plumbing. They're like, I'm not doing anything.
So because they didn't need it.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Like, and I agree,
because they
I agree
were tough.
With you. You are born into whatever generation you're born into and times and stuff like that. And sitting here as I complain about, you know, these kids, and I agree with you a lot, man. Like, a lot of it is, I had a 30-year reunion from my military school, and I went back, and we were talking about how all the new cadets at the school, look how slack they are. They suck, and we used to. No, we didn't used to do any of that. We were just like them.
Yeah.
And a
yeah.
lot of it is what you said. You get older, and it's easy to look back and go, like, I was never like that when I was a kid.
You always remember things better than they were.
Absolutely.
But if you zero in on individual circumstances, I hear comedians, successful comedians, talk about this a lot. Because I listen to a lot of them on podcasts. But I guess this is true of a lot of people who are successful. Part of what made you successful is you had a weird, screwed up childhood, probably, or or you were really poor and you had to work for it. You know,
yeah.
You had nothing. I've heard Kevin Hart talk about he had nothing. He had to fight.
Yeah, it's not just
everything.
That's not just comedians. I think that's everyone.
But like I said, I hear it with this because I listen to a lot of them on podcast. And now they have kids, and you're going, I've got millions of dollars, and I want my kids to have a better life than me. But it's weird because they're not going to be. They're not going to find success the
they're
same way
hungry.
I did because they don't, they don't have that hunger.
When I started out doing stand-up, and it doesn't even work like this anymore, but I lived out of my car for 4 years. Like, I didn't have a residence at all. I just took work wherever I could get it. I'd be in Lubbock, Texas one night or for a weekend, and I'd have 2 days to get to Charleston, South Carolina, and everything I owned was in my car. Now, when people are like, how do I do it? I'm like, here's what you do. And then I look at who's being successful. I'm like, well, that guy only has 3 minutes of material, but he has a YouTube video that he made in his basement, and now there's a million people that want to see him. Well, they don't have any backup. They have 5 minutes of material, and you go watch him try to do an hour, and it's terrible, but they sold a lot of tickets, and they're out. So the work ethic is gone even in stand-up.
You know what's weird, though, is that people don't care.
But that doesn't last.
I was going to say, though, people don't care. I'm not going to mention anybody's thing because there's a huge YouTube thing that blew up, got into a TV show. They do a touring show now, and they're just recycling the same. I'm waiting for them to come up with some new material, but it's just they're not. And people don't care. They just want to see the person in person.
Well, yeah, and they want to. But like, I did some shows with this dude Chad Prather. I don't know if you.
The cowboy hat guy. Yeah, he's
Chad
fantastic.
Actually has a show. Like he didn't. He's got really popular on YouTube, but he has a show. That I've done shows in theaters with him.
You know who he's talking about, right? The guy who sits in his truck and he makes the ruminations
Texas.
Yeah. He's awesome.
So he has an hour and a half, 2 hours of material that he could fall back on. A lot of the, and he's worked at it. That guy is up first thing in the morning every single day.
Is he a comedian?
Videos.
Like, I don't know where his
He
story
calls
is.
Himself a humorist, but I mean, it's pretty much stand up. It's stories and it's political views and it's kind of a mishmash of a. But
But basically what he does is he's doing the comedy and the live shows and all that.
His stand-up
That's his
is,
job.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's what I didn't know what his background was.
Yeah, but a lot of people get popular off of, you know, a video, and then comedy clubs are like, yeah, come in, man, do a week, and then you're going to do an hour. And they don't have anything.
They don't have an hour.
Yeah, they have 10 minutes.
Well, a friend of mine was telling me that, you know, it used to be headliner was an hour, the feature did 20 minutes, the MC did 10, hour and a half show. Now they're asking, even here at the club locally, they're asking the MC, because I noticed, I'm like, man, this MC's been on stage for like 20 minutes. And my buddy said, yeah, we get the MC to do 20 sometimes. Feature does 30 because the headliner can only do 30.
Yeah.
Because they only have 30 minutes.
Yep.
Because
of material?
Because they're famous YouTube.
They don't have the material. So people get to see them.
I only need five more minutes of material and one hit YouTube video, and I can make it.
Dude.
I got 25 solid minutes.
You need to work on that 5 minutes.
I need to work on that next 5 minutes.
The 30 minutes is hard.
It's
not easy.
I couldn't do stand-up like you guys do. I mean, and it's interesting, though, because I have several comedian friends who would come in and go, we could never do radio. I could never do radio like you guys do because we blow all our material every day. We blow so much material every day. And it's like, bam, 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 bam. Every 10 minutes, we're on to a new topic, new subject, whatever. Mm-hmm. And it changes every single day.
Yep.
You guys, like Patrick was talking about Kevin Hart. I mean, what is he? His specials come out every 2 years? So he has 2 years to come out with an hour's worth of material.
And that's the, like with Cable Guy, when I was out with him for like 10 years. So his first album was hysterical, you know, but he had 15 years to pick his best stuff. Well, then you become hugely popular. They're like, we want another one this year. And then it's like, wait a minute. They're like, yeah, we're recording it in 8 months.
Yeah. It's the same way with artists.
It is, absolutely. You have to be able to follow it up. And it's, you know, so you had all this time. Like radio, you guys have to come up with stuff on the spot. Boom, boom,
can
boom.
Can you go to other comedians and go, hey, look, I've got a special coming up and I need an assist. I'm going to call in an assist here. Do you have some stuff that you can write for me? I mean, can you do that? Is that done?
You can do it. It is done, and you can do it.
I know I hear people steal jokes, but I didn't know if sometimes they develop stuff specifically.
Them. Guys that are at that Kevin Hart, Cable Guy, all that stuff.
They'll buy bits?
I don't know that those two guys
but they can. You
absolutely can.
That's awesome.
And no one cares. Stealing
Just like a singer would buy a song to put it on their album.
Most guys will buy premises. Mm-hmm. Where they'll go, they'll call the comic and be like, look, you have this premise that's boom, 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 and it fits into my voice. Can I pay you to take that
now,
and then they make it their own. But the setup and everything.
Does the other guy still get to use it, or they is part of the agreement?
The problem is, yeah, you can use it, but if you use it, someone's already seen this guy do it on TV, and then you look like a hack.
Yeah.
So
a lot of times,
I know, like,
though,
Mencia had gotten busted a couple times for doing that.
He was straight lifting stuff. Go ahead, say it. You know it's true. You know, look at it. He doesn't want to talk.
Well, that's what the rumor is. I had heard he was borrowing.
And then he blamed his writers. He said, well, I had writers and my writers stole it. Whatever. You literally were word for word doing a Bill Cosby bit, bro. We all saw it.
I try not to say bad stuff about
Cosby. I'm not bashing anybody.
But it
we've borrowed ideas from radio, a lot of our radio legends, you know?
That, I mean, that's different, though, dude. I'm talking about somebody taking something and making a special about it, or taking things. And a lot of guys will say, like, well, I just popped in my head. Everybody can't. As soon as somebody says, you want to hear a funny story?
Yes,
you're
about always.
You're talking about Ralphie.
By the way, the comedy show is called The Loftus Party.
Yeah, it's the loftusparty.com, and it's Reno Collier, Michael Loftus, anyway, Brian Cameron. All right, so Ralphie and I had known each other out in L.A., right? And I wish I would have gotten to tell him this. So I did a joke where I moved to L.A. or whatever, and I don't fit in. I can't find – I bought this silver, shiny shirt, and I look like a baked potato in it, right? So I do the joke during a showcase, and Ralphie comes up, and he's like, hey, man. He goes, I got that same joke. And I'm like, Ralphie, no, dude, do not steal that. He's like, no, I'm serious, man. I got the same joke. I'm like, Ralphie, don't take that joke. So this is how long ago it was. Craig Kilborn was on, and I'm watching it. Ralphie goes on. He does the joke. I'm like, Ralphie, you know, and I see him. I'm like, dude, you took that thing. He goes, nah, man, I was doing it. I'm like, Ralphie, you know you took that from me. So for 20 years, we were going back and forth about – you know, that joke. And we'd laugh about it, and we'd be on the same radio interview or whatever. And he's like, you still mad at me about that baked potato? I'm like, Robbie, you know you stole that joke. So I get remarried, and I'm talking to my wife, and she's like, who are some of the biggest influences in your life? And I was, and comedically, I'm like, there was this guy, Robin Harris, this black comedian who had like a knit tie, mm-hmm. and he did Bebe's Kids. He was one of the funniest mm-hmm. people I've ever seen in my life. I'm like, you've got to just watch him for a minute. So I pulled up on YouTube. We're watching it. This big woman in the middle of the show gets up. She has a silver dress on. She's walking up. Now, I've seen this special probably 100 times just in college alone. She gets up. She's walking down the aisle. He goes, look at you walking down the aisle in that silver dress like a baked potato. And I went,
oh, you both stole it.
Oh, we both stole it. I was like,
oh, my God. Oh,
God. I never got to tell him, like, dude, we both ripped that thing off. But it subconsciously gets in your head, and you think you thought of it, and you didn't. So that's why I don't watch stand-up anymore, unless it's somebody who has a totally different voice than me. Because now all I talk about are real – if it didn't really happen in my life, then I don't bring it up, because it's the only way to.
Way to make sure you don't steal.
And it's also in this burned up head. It's the only way I can remember it.
Well, it's the same thing
with
songwriters. I mean, how many times do you hear a song and you go, "Oh, that sounds just like that"? You know, like we were in here. Brad Paisley was sitting right where you are, and he was playing this song, and
he was just like warming up.
He
like
was just
noodling.
Yeah,
like,
just noodling. And I said, "Oh, Change the World, Eric Clapton." He goes, "No." Nope, that's a song I wrote last night that I'm going to throw away now, because he didn't even realize, and it was, and he played it and was going, he went, yeah, okay, that's where it's funny because he was influenced by Eric Clapton, completely didn't even put those together. It was the same song.
Yeah, and there's a big difference between what he did, like you told him about it, he thought about it and was like, okay, I'm not going to do it anymore. As opposed to some comedians who people go, hey, man, you stole that, and then they keep doing it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like,
it's
if
safer
somebody
to
goes,
steal or to get to buy bits from people who are not comedians. You're like,
yeah, you got to be careful of that, too, because my dad, who, oh, God, like, he always tells me, like, the first TV show I had, I go, what do you think? He goes, I couldn't wait for it to end. He's like, that's the worst thing I've ever. I'm like, oh, God, really, man? I'm like, it's on TV. Yeah, whatever. Remember. So he tells me when I'm a kid, he goes, I was at the airport and I had a jacket and I was in line getting a cup of coffee and a cookie. And I go up and I get the cup of coffee and I go over to a table and I sit it down and I go back up to get creamer and I come back and there's a lady sitting there eating the cookie. So I just jerk the cookie out of her hand. I'm like, what are you doing? And he grabbed his coffee and he went to his gate at the airport eating the cookie. He gets on the plane, puts his hand in his pocket, and his cookie was in his pocket. Right? So my dad tells me this as a kid, right? So I'm like, this is the greatest thing ever.
Yeah.
So I think it's a good idea to tell that story during an interview. I get emails. There was a Christian comedian that told that story like 35 years ago on some special.
It was on a record.
And my dad told me it happened to him. And I'm like, hey, jackass, I told that story. And it was from a book. And he's like, oh, it happened to me too. I'm like, it did not happen to you.
No, it did not. You ever watch the research they do on how bad our memories really are?
Oh, it's terrible.
It's fascinating. What you believe fully in your spirit is to be true is so many times not. And they talk about you over time, if you tell something, how many times have we told a story?
Oh, you guys change details all the time. It's not intentional.
And it just gets bigger.
I hear the version as it just evolves and it's.
And I believe that's the way it happened, but I know it's not the way it happened.
This happened to me last week. On my podcast, by the way, my podcast, Five Whiskey Patrick, available now.
LoftusPartyLive.com. Loftusparty.
Don't forget, we're going to be doing game night Friday, June 21st in Tyler, Texas.
We're going to be in Nashville, May 28th, Huntsville, May 29th.
I'm wearing different shoes.
So I'm telling this story.
Let me go ahead and finish this up. Kansas City.
I'm telling this story on the podcast about why the song Celebrate by Kool & the Gang was our class song in 1997. Okay? And it's because they had picked four songs. One of them was R. Kelly, I Believe I Can Fly. That was how we got on that subject. One of them was Today by the Smashing Pumpkins, and then Celebrate and something else. And I went to a school that was 45% black and 45% white and like 10% Asian because it was Iberia Parish.
I was going to say, you didn't have math if you had 45 and 45.
But it was 50-50 white and black. So we're there, and all of the white kids are cheering and about to vote for Smashing Pumpkins. All the black kids were going to vote for R. Kelly, and the Vietnamese kids were the swing vote, they were into the Kool & Gang.
Wang Chung.
So no,
I'm sorry, never mind. Apologize. So
half the school was going to end up with a song
Patrick said that
they hated. I didn't say that. Half the school is going to end up with a song that they hated. So after people were giving speeches in support of the songs, okay, and I got up and I said, "How many of you love this R. Kelly song?" And all the black kids cheered. I said, "How many of you hate it?" And all the white kids cheered. I said, "How many of you love the Smashing Pumpkins song?" And all the white kids cheered. I said, "How many of you absolutely hate it?" And all the black kids. And I said, "How many of you hate Kool & the Gang?" Nobody. And I said, "I think we should pick the song that nobody is going to hate."
I'm going to cry.
And everybody, and that's what happened. And it got voted for. I told that story. Thank you.
That's a great story.
I immediately regretted it 2 weeks later when they played it at graduation. I was like, oh my God, why? we might have won this vote. No. But I told that story, and a guy I knew from high school goes, yeah, I gave that speech at that thing. And I seriously have spent the last but here's the thing. It was me. He gave a different speech. He was the guy who had picked that song. He was like the class president. And he gave the first speech saying why it should be that song. And I came up at the end when they were asking anybody for comments. But I spent 2 days going, was that me? I'm almost sure it was me.
Did you reach in your pocket and get your cookie out?
No, I was really, really. Because I wish I had a cookie right now.
Your memory's not.
Yeah, we're
can
not
you
take
in
it from things that people
that
have
yeah.
things that people have told you. You'll weave that into it, and your brain will make it work.
Yeah.
And it's really crazy, man.
Pictures are like that. Like, I was an only child. My mom told me, she goes, when you were a kid, and I'd seen, there was a picture of me at my birthday party, and there was an empty seat beside me. And then there were a couple kids around it. And I go, why didn't this guy ever show for pictures? And my mom goes, you had an invisible friend. And like, you made sure that he was going to sit beside you during, and I'm like, what? And she's like, yeah. And I'm like, oh, wait, I remember that. I was like, I remember I was at this party and I told this story about how I remembered it. And she's like, honey, you were two when that happened.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, what? And I'm like, yeah, the kid, what I had thought was a memory of me doing it were other pictures that I'd looked at. We started pulling out other pictures.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And I was looking at him going, So I don't remember this. I just remember looking at these pictures intermittently. Right. And in my mind, I was there.
You just filled in the blanks.
Yeah. Yep. Is right. The pictures could have actually triggered some actual memory. So it's all this mishmash thing of all different stuff.
Yeah. 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 You're right.
Game night. We're going to be in Tyler, Texas, Friday, June 21st, Liberty
Tickets
Hall.
Tickets are on sale. Just went on sale. So
this morning. They're going.
BigDandBubba.com.
It's going fast, actually.
Also, Belton, Texas. We've been asked to come out for Fort Hood, so we're going to do that
at the
Beltonian on the next night. So make sure you get those. The Loftus Party is where you're going to be able to find Reno Collier.
Can I say the date?
Yeah, Michael Loftus. Also,
we are going to be in Syracuse. We're May 28th, we're in Nashville at Zany's. May 29th, we're in Huntsville at Stand Up Live. June 4th, Kansas City Improv. June 5th, Omaha Funny Bone. June 6th, Des Moines Funny Bone. And then June 11th, Syracuse. You guys are making
Syracuse. We have a lot of podcast listeners in Syracuse.
Heck yeah. So June 11th, Syracuse. Albany, June 12th. Hartford, June 13th. Orlando, July 10th. And Tampa, July 11th. There's going to be more
dates coming.
But it's theloftusparty.com. If you guys want to check it out.
Or just go to the Loftus, LOFTUS, Loftus Party on Facebook. You'll be able to, that's how I just pulled it up. So it'll work that way too.
Yeah.
It's good to see you, man.
I actually made this Facebook page. I have a memory of making this Facebook page.
You remember you made that?
Yeah.
I remember when I worked construction and I built a studio and I always said, I was like, you know, eventually we're going to put like some podcast rooms and stuff in here. Yeah. I remember when I said, yeah. It was, and then I was sitting in here with Brad Paisley and I told him, I said, look, that song.
It was Eric Clapton.
You are an Eric Clapton hack, Brad Paisley.
It would have been great if you're with Eric Clapton and he starts playing a Brad Paisley song.
You know, Eric, that's mud on the tires.
You know, that's just like mud on the tires.
It's like a cigar song, Eric.
Hey, real quick. I know we're finishing up, but I just want to throw this out there.
We can take, it's a Eric podcast. Clapton. We can just keep going.
Yeah, but I made that for me.
I'm done. I'm leaving you guys.
He has a memory of leaving.
I went down the Live Aid, 1985 Live Aid lineup. You know, they had two. They had one in Wembley in London and one in Philadelphia. And I started looking at the videos because the Queen one is what made me look at it because there's icon. And they did the movie recently. I didn't realize how many amazing artists are on the bill for Live Aid.
Yeah.
And dude, it's like Sting is up there with Dire Straits going, I want my empty. I was like, what?
Yeah.
And I mean, it went on and on and on. These Elton John, and you should, if you get a chance sometimes,
it was the biggest people of that era.
Oh, it was enormous. Yeah. Madonna,
Whitney Houston. Yeah, it was huge. I remember the video from that.
I remember being there.
You mean
I was holding hands with Dionne Warwick. I remember.
Like four, but I was there.
That's what friends are for.
And 5-4-3-2, your time is up.
That's it.
I think it's our time. The podcast sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Are we done?
Yeah.
We're done. Okay. Thank you. Go.
Reno Collier, thank you, dude.
Man, I love you guys. Thanks for having me.
No, I have a memory of loving you.
Well, we grew up together.
Yes, we did.
This was the podcast, but now it's over. But that's okay. So please go leave 5-star ratings on all the podcast apps.
On the radio.
All the time.
Every day.
Yeah. Tell your friends.
One more.
Was the podcast.
I'm sorry. Okay, real quick. Yes, go. And now that it's over, rate the podcast 5 stars. Don't give it 4. Don't give it 4. You've been warned.
5 stars.
Five stars. Five stars. Five stars. Thank you.